home, the whole life is bound up in that, that over the years the husband feels alienated, and pretty soon he decides, I can't do this anymore. Somebody a long time ago left their first love. When you read the Bible, if you still don't get your heart to dancing and leaping because of your love for God, there's something wrong. You can look into the eye of that one that at one time you did love, but now you don't have a twinkle in your eye. Something wrong. That should be there. The Lord says this is a church that's in an insecure place, and if they don't repent and do the first works, go back to where the passion originally was. If you don't go back, he says, I'm going to kick the candlestick out of its place. They have no idea God's going to do it. Yeah, insecure. Get into a routine, and it's easy to forget all about what God is trying to say and what God's trying to do through you. I read a biography one time about a preacher, and he was talking about how in his early years in the ministry, he would pray about what he's going to preach on every week, looking for topics and messages. And he said he really felt a blessing of God that was in his life then, but he said he was always really anxious because he didn't know what the next message was going to be, and it was time consuming to lay in that altar and talk to God and figure out what God's going to deal with those people. Well, he said then one day he was reading the Bible, and he had heard somebody else talk about how they were teaching through the verses, you know, consecutively, verse by verse. I teach that way myself sometimes. But he said he discovered then that by teaching that way, it freed up a lot of his time so that where he was given time to prayer, he didn't have to pray anymore. He knew where he was going. Going to be here. 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be there. 3 weeks from now, I'm going to be here. So sure enough, he started ministering and preaching that way. And I thought, well, I said, that's an interesting thing. And I'm glad he's able to take folks through the word and keep them focused on the word. But the thing that bothered me when I read that was, here's a man that has walked away from praying. That when he had time to seek the face of God and said, Lord, what is it that you would have me to say? He moved away from that. That's a rote routine. And I've, you know, even with myself, you know, you don't operate your home that way. If the plumbing is bad in the bathroom, you're normally not trying to fix something that's in the kitchen. Or repair a dresser that's in the bedroom, you work on what's wrong. And even as a pastor, I've found out that you have to minister to deal with the people in that congregation. You got folks' marriages falling apart, kids are going haywire, all kinds of things taking place. This is not the time for me to just say, look, the schedule, folks, it says Genesis 6. I don't have time for anything else. Genesis 6 is where we are. Well, God wants us to see that we have to put him first because we should do the first works. I remember how I was as a young minister. The time, the effort I put in studying the word of God, the joy and the excitement that I had then, I still have it now. To preach and to tell folks about God. I still get nervous when I have to get up in front of people because I know that something I say could change the direction of a child's life. Some couple whose life could change because of something that's going to be said. And if in traveling and preaching, if I preached like the man in the book that I read, I don't think I'd have many invitations. Yeah. Reminds me of years ago, David Wilkerson was doing a youth rally, and he said he was so far away from God. He said even though he was preaching to 20 and 30 and 40,000 people each week in different auditoriums, he said in the midst of preaching, he had backslid. And he said he got up in front of about 15,000 youth and preached on marriage to thousands of youth that weren't even at an age to know anything about marriage. And he said he went back to his room and wept and cried, and the preachers that sponsored the meeting said, Brother Wilkerson, what is wrong with you? Why in the world would you preach a marriage seminar to teenagers? He knew at that point he'd fallen so far away from God that he couldn't even hear his voice. He began to fast and began to pray to get back to the place where the blessing of God could be upon his life one more time. Real quick, like in verse 6, he goes on to say, you do have this. You hate the deeds, the Nicolaitans. I've read a lot of commentaries on this, never ever found an answer that satisfied me, and heard people go through the Nico means Nike and means victory, and Laitans means the people that are the folks in the church and all of that. But I do know this. The Ephesus church was opposed to this doctrine. The Pergamos church had people that had embraced this doctrine. It certainly wasn't something God was happy about. And I think any doctrine that takes us away from true repentance and walking with God, we should be careful about. There's a man on television right now said God gave him a revelation that said that Jesus' death on the cross was so final and targeted our sins in such a specific way that Christians no longer need to repent of their sins. But as you can see right here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, it says, remember from where you've fallen and repent. As long as there's breath in your body, you'll need the blood of Jesus Christ, as I will. Yeah. Any man or woman that tells me they don't need to repent, I say, all you need to do is ask them kids or ask your spouse. You'll find out there are a whole lot of imperfections that are there in your life. But the idea that grace can be preached today in such an exaggerated way, it breaks my heart. I hear them on television. I mean, they say you shouldn't mention sin. Don't talk about the cross. God's grace for you is so great that he doesn't care about what you're doing in your life. It covers whatever is taking place, whatever the lifestyle. And I'm thinking to myself, that is utter deception. The culture has invaded the church, and the church wants to be so non-offending that they've embraced doctrines that are pagan, and we've moved away from the one thing that's so essential, and that's to tell a man or woman to repent. For Jesus to say to these Christians, except you repent, I'm going to shut the doors of the church. It's a very strong message. But he holds the bait or the reward in verse 7. He says, if you overcome, overcome what? Overcome the loss of the first love. If you repent, if you overcome the deeds of those Nicolaitans, stay with me. He says, I'll give you to eat of that tree of life. That's mentioned in Revelation 22, verse 2, and also, I believe, somewhere around verse 14, the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. He holds a reward out there and says, you will receive this if you overcome. Now, you might read that, and as some people say, that makes religion a work-based religion or reward-based religion. I don't care how you describe it. Okay. Make up any scheme that you want. I know I'm saved by grace through faith, but I also know that here to the church at Ephesus, he said, if you don't overcome, you're never going to see that tree. If you do overcome, you'll partake of it. The Bible says, work out your own salvation, your soul's salvation in fear and in trembling. That is to say, God, when I look at my Christian life and I look at from what I was saved, Lord, help me to overcome all of my weaknesses. And the man or woman that acts as though they don't have any weaknesses at all is the man or woman that's utterly deceived, and just like the Ephesians, they've left the first love and don't even know it. The reason, Peter says, it's better to never have known the Lord than to know the Lord and go back, is because he realized that when a man or woman backslides, they immediately go back to what they were doing before they were Christian. Yeah. That alcoholic goes to jail and is free from alcohol for a long time, may even say they've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm telling you, if they backslide, it won't be but a few days. They'll be right back on a bar stool somewhere drinking. Because that old nature is still in there, and you've got to overcome him every day. Yeah. That's a wrestling match. Dealing with them temptations. Come, that old man, that flesh, those desires, different things or cause those desires to emerge. You see things from your past. You see people from your past. Things that'll take place and then all of a sudden it's like, Lord, I thought I had dealt with that. And you had. It was crucified in Christ. But there are things, circumstances, events that are created that can cause all of that to be resurrected. And that is why God has given us the power of the Holy Ghost and His Word to be able to overcome it. Because there's no temptation that's coming to you but such as is common to all of us. But with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. I had a man say to me one time, he had to be about 55 then. So this would have been 20 years ago. He said to me then, he said, Daryl, he said, you're a young preacher right now. But he said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in my middle years. I'm headed towards retirement. But he said, the older I get, I found out that the lusts of the flesh are just as bad now as they were when I was in my 20s. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, don't think for a second when you get older, you don't have those. He said that here. And I've always held on to that because I've always realized that in every one of us, from the time we're little, that devil keeps tabs on everybody's weaknesses. And he does everything that he can to create situations so that those weaknesses will be dealt with. And so that they'll become fruitful and get stronger in your life. And when we come to know the Lord, we can apply the cross, reckon ourselves dead. Oh God, Father, help me to be dead to that, Lord. I don't want to destroy my marriage. I don't want to destroy my church. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose all of that. But when you begin to believe you're stronger than the devil in and of yourself, you're already fallen and you don't even know it. You're in an insecure place. But praise God, folks. God called us to be the Ephesian church, but He wants us to be Ephesian church that's in love with God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Praise the name of the Lord.